Fragments. Look unto Jesus. 1914. Typed. Those who continually look unto Jesus become like him. He cleanses them from sin and imparts to them the heavenly wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. James 1, verse 5, 6. Then let us keep our connection with the Savior, and seek him as one who will unite his wisdom with the weakness of those who yearn for his companionship. Looking to Jesus in confidence day by day will place you on vantage ground and enable you to do a work that is essential. Look to your Redeemer in faith and loving trust for power and wisdom to do the work of character building. He sits as a refiner to purify the gold and silver from all dross. Then look continually unto him, and no cheap or worthless material will be brought into the structure of your character building. By faith, you may accept the merits of the blood of the Son of God, which he has shed that the sinner might not perish, but have everlasting life. God has laid upon him all power, that he may impart help to every one who will break with Satan and acknowledge Christ as his only hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. By faith, the soul palsied by sin may be cleansed and healed by the great medical missionary. When you are ready to cooperate with him who can keep you from falling, your resolutions will be of some value. Christ, the chief healer, will make you whole. He works mightily with every one who is in earnest. He will give strength and victory. All the mean and wicked traits of character can be taken away by the one who has purchased you as his property. The penalty of sin is death. But Christ took upon himself humanity that he might pay the price of redemption for every soul. He said, I will give my life, that the world may have a second probation. For our sakes, he laid aside the robe and kingly crown, and clothed his divinity with humanity. He took the burden of every sin, and paid the penalty for every soul who desires to be free from the bondage of Satan and his associates. The powers which have held control over the sinner are to be broken. Every one who, with genuine repentance and conversion, accepts of the great gift that Christ has given, is cleansed from his sins. In the light of the great sacrifice of Christ, we shall learn to despise all iniquity. Salvation is secured by a mutual contract. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 1, verse 12. Will you, with all your heart and mind and soul, enter into this contract? Our life on this earth is short, and it behooves us to separate from the enemy of our souls and to seek for soul cleansing. We will have a helper in the Lord Jesus. Make a break with the enemy. Cast yourselves loose from the prince of the power of the air and from the legion of him associates. Satan will resist the efforts of those who choose to stand on the Lord's side. He will resort to every kind of deception to frustrate their efforts. But God has given his Son to bear the sins of those who seek his truth and righteousness. He stands ready to impart grace to everyone who looks to him in faith. Every student should realize that he is to study in the school of Christ, where he may obtain an education that will make of him a Christian soldier. The exercise of faith and manly courage will enlarge the comprehension of what it means to be a Christian. We are to seek for that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. We shall have severe conflicts with our hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil. There must be a firm dependence upon the captain of our salvation. He will not fail to do his part. In his great prayer, Jesus said, referring to his disciples, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." John 17, verse 19. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. "And as many as receive him, to them gives he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1, verse 12. To believe on Christ is to depend upon him, to accept him as a gift from God. "I have an abiding, heartfelt trust in him who comforted his disciples with the promise, 'Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14, verse 1 to 3. These words should make our hearts abound with such gratitude and thankfulness that we would break forth in thanksgiving and praise to God and unite with the heavenly host in songs of rejoicing. It is a marvel to me why poor, unbelieving, sinful souls do not appreciate these great and sacred truths. "And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against your brother in his heart." But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Zechariah 7, verse 8 to 14. The Lord speaks the truth plainly, that we may understand our true condition, and that we may overcome the objectionable features of our character. "Come into line, repent, repent ye, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Acts 3, verse 19. "Confess your sins with deep sorrow of heart. Leave the ways and works of Satan, and come to Christ with humility and repentance, with heart broken and a contrite spirit. Exchange your life of wickedness for a life of righteousness. Trust in the mercy of him who gave his life, that you might be saved, not in your sins, but by repentance and faith and confession from your sins. By your example, show to others what true repentance means and what conversion will do for a man. Let others see in you the power that comes from an active faith. Show the world how to become partakers of that glorious hope which cannot be taken away. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Turn ye," he says, "for why will ye die?" Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Our past life with its mistakes is not a pleasant picture to look upon, but it must be held up to our view that we may desire something better. My brethren, who are seeking to advance the work of God and to save perishing souls, be sure that you are not an enemy in sheep's clothing. Are you harboring jealousy or evil surmising? Are you working to destroy confidence in your fellow workmen while you magnify yourself? Let everyone seek the Lord, bearing in mind that he has a soul to save. If he will persevere, he may make thorough work for eternity. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. This will create an atmosphere that will bring the angels who keep and guard the soul. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verses 17 to 18. This class of people lives a life separate from God. God cannot work in a church where the members allow the enemy to work by and through them. Many have no faith in those with whom they are associated because they have no faith in themselves. Instead of yielding to the spirit of repentance, they seem to be past feeling, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verses 19 to 26. Can there be anger without sin? Yes, there is a holy indignation at the total depravity of the human heart. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verses 27 to 32. I address my brethren and sisters in every church. Magnify Christ. Follow after no man whose life reveals that he is not a follower of Christ. Serve him with heart and soul and mind. Every dollar that is withheld from the place that God has designed for it is defrauding his cause. There is great need of help at Berrien Springs. Are there not some who have means who can help them in this place? The Lord has greatly blessed them, but they need to have more comfortable quarters for the winter. The Lord would be pleased to have you do something just now. I cannot give encouragement to make such a call for means to be invested in the sanitarium at Battle Creek, but we shall have but little to give to the needy fields. Neither can I encourage large numbers of our most promising youth to go to that place to receive a medical missionary training.
Some of the things that are taught in Battle Creek are not sound, sanctified principles of truth. Dangerous sentiments will be inculcated in many minds that will, in future time, open the door to Satan's sophistries. The time has come for God to work in our behalf. I wish to make a sure work for eternity. We cannot find words fitly to explain the latest development of ideas held by some. They contain threads of pantheism. These ideas are so mixed with the truth that the truth is made of no effect. These specious theories constitute a denial of the personality of God, the atonement of Christ, and his work in the sanctuary. They take away the vital principles which have made us a separate people. Too frequently, when we are asked to help some cause, there goes with the favor bestowed in response to the call a spirit of upbraiding. The Lord will help us if we ask in faith, nothing doubting. The action of mind upon mind is given us as a talent from the Lord, for the use of which he will hold us responsible. No one can live to himself, even if he would. He is under the control of a mind that is a power of influence, either for good or for evil. The Lord provided for his saints an influence that leads to a life of usefulness. The opposite influence comes from Lucifer, the angel who, in his rebellion in heaven, led many of the angels away from their allegiance to God. He desires to perpetuate sin, and with the host of angels who acknowledge his leadership, he constantly seeks to counterwork the efforts of God for man's salvation. The personality of God is represented in Jesus Christ. He is the express image of his Father's person. An understanding of the first chapters of the book of Hebrews is important. We may find comfort and encouragement in studying these chapters prayerfully. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, verse 12 to 13. Sin is deceptive, especially when it appears clothed in garments of righteousness. Unless we keep the word of God ever before us, we shall be drawn away from the truth into by and forbidden paths. Those who are taken in the snare of the enemy are those who are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, who have not received the divine rays of light from heaven. They may be filled with an intense earnestness, but they are moved by a power from beneath. Satan is well acquainted with the scriptures. He can lead minds to misunderstand what is written, to misquote, and to misinterpret what God has written. Unless we are constantly on guard, he will obtain possession of our minds. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 14. The danger signal is lifted. Let those who have had an experience in the beginning of the work of the first and second and third angels' messages hold fast the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Chapters 3, 15 to 4:2.